Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3 at checkout.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in this week, and thank you for joining us on this Friday. You made it. You did it. We're here. And we have a lot to talk about today. Biden's student debt handout remains on hold. Obviously, there was a big state dinner last night for Emmanuel Macron, the French president. It was a real who's who of smarmy, condescending, sophisticated people. The guest list includes, and I do apologize because when I'm reading this, my eyes are going to roll to the back of my head, Stephen Colbert, Chrissy Teigen, Nancy Pelosi. She was with her daughter. I wasn't sure if that's the daughter who was cheering on when Rand Paul was attacked by his neighbor, violently attacked. Obviously, Macron and his wife, Valerie Biden, Joe's little sister, was there. Hadn't seen her since the book tour that never was. And every pick in the Daily Mail, each person, one after the next, was more condescending, just more out of touch than the last person. So I'm sure they all had a really great time. It looked very fancy. I don't know if Janet Yellen would say they splurged on the dinner, but I think she might. We also have updates on the Hunter Biden gun probe that you'll be interested in. California's in the news for a variety of reasons, including suggested reparations. And that is going to come with a very hefty price tag. The number might blow your mind. But first, and this is what I want to open this show with, and I'm going to take it slow here. It's a very serious topic. I don't want to misspeak. I want to be very clear in how I'm feeling, which is very confused, if I'm being honest. And it actually plays into our poll question, which we'll get to in the next segment. I'm very open to opinions on a certain part of this story because I haven't really completely figured it out yet. I've been talking with a lot of people in the office. I talked to the mailroom manager today. I've been reaching out to friends, reaching out to guests that I've had on this show. And this topic is what took over Twitter yesterday, what took over a lot of the media. And that was Kanye West, who went off the rails while on Alex Jones's program. He was very unhinged. We know he has mental health problems. This is a man who clearly is in the midst of some sort of episode, not in his right mind. He was doing bizarre prop comedy. He was saying that he liked Hitler, spreading a lot of anti-Semitism. And I'm not going to play any of the sound from that appearance. I don't want to give more oxygen to this insanity. And then he went on to tweet a swastika inside of the Star of David. And that's what led to him being suspended from Twitter. So the question we're posing here is, should he have been suspended? Should he have been kicked off? And I've kind of been grappling with this, going back and forth for a while on it. And it's really tricky to me. And here's why. I think his rantings and ravings are repugnant. I condemn anti-Semitism, and I will do that all the time because I think a lot of the anti-Semitism in this country does not get as much play as it should, does not get as much outrage as it should, and it should be condemned in the strongest terms possible. And I actually, for that reason, really wanted to avoid talking about this because I hate the idea of even dignifying this kind of blatant hatred with any kind of attention or airtime. And I know a lot of people are probably avoiding it today, especially Republicans who have said nice things about Kanye in the past. It's tempting to just pretend that none of this is happening. And so I reached out to a guest today. I'm going to leave her anonymous, but she's been a guest on this show. And she always handles issues with a lot of nuance. And she told me that she's also torn. And she's a Jewish woman from New York. And that made me feel a little bit less crazy that even someone who feels this anti-Semitism on a completely different level than I will ever understand, she also thought that she could see the side of maybe it's better to let people bury themselves with their own insane ramblings. And then we had the conversation about, well, Twitter probably does need to draw the line somewhere. Someone's mentally unhinged and spreading these kind of conspiracy theories and has a huge platform of people. I don't know if anyone's aware, but Kanye West fans, it's a whole different kind of fanhood or fandom, whatever you want to call it. They really, a lot of his fans are just down for whatever he has to say, and they will back it up and they will amplify it and they will spread whatever he has to say. So that is a part of this too. But the tricky part of it is that when you set that line, we've seen this line be moved a lot before. And I've always been of the mindset that if a person has hateful ideas or stupid ideas or evil ideas, it's better to let people see those ideas and hear those ideas and reject them and stand against them rather than trying to suppress them, because sometimes that adds fuel to the fire. And I'll actually give an example of this, because when all of these rantings and you know, Twitter tirades by Kanye started happening a few months ago, and we should also make the point of saying this kind of anti-Semitism is not new in this country and around the world, and it did not start with Kanye West. It happens all the time. It's very underreported, does not get enough attention. He obviously drew a lot more attention to it. He's a billionaire rapper, so people are focusing in on this, as they should be. But I will say the energy that people have towards Kanye should also be harnessed in the cases of, you know, Jewish schools dealing with graffiti and synagogues being defaced or getting threats. Like, this shouldn't be something where we only talk about it now. But as this all started becoming very present in the news, I reached out to Ari Hoffman, who's a friend of the show. He's actually going to join us at 12:30. And I asked him for, like, resources, you know, to learn more about the Jewish people and their history and being able to talk about anti-Semitism without just saying that's bad. What Kanye is saying is bad, which it is. You don't have to be, you know, a professor or very knowledgeable on history to understand that. But I think understanding the layers of why it's bad and how dangerous it is important. And so without trying to paint too much of a rosy spin on it, like, oh, well, this could actually be a good situation. I'm not trying to do that. I just think that there are opportunities in this kind of craziness to learn more and to educate people and to make people understand this is why it's so important. Holocaust education is incredibly important. And there's a lot of schools in this country that don't have it, whether they don't have resources or they don't want to have it. There's different stories for each one, but it's incredibly important. But sometimes when people are allowed to express their opinions, no matter how ugly they might be, it can lead to other people being motivated to learn more about why said opinions are so off base and why it's so important to learn about the suffering of groups of people. And on a side note, and this isn't something, and actually, no, before I get to this, I talked to the mailroom manager and she had a really good point as well, because at first we were talking about whether or not he should be suspended off of Twitter. And I thought, well, you know, free speech, where do you draw the line? It gets really, really confusing. And it can kind of go down a slippery slope. And her point was, well, this man is clearly deranged. He's clearly dealing with something mentally. And I thought, well, yeah, but then, and I know I'm offering like all these counter arguments, and bear with me, I don't try to do that all the time. But I think in this case, no one has the answer. Like, it's very layered. So, and I've reached out to a lot of people who feel the same way. So if I seem like I'm going to every person's opinion, it's because I'm trying to sort through it myself. But I said, well, yeah, but then where do you decide that? You know, who's, next time you disagree with someone, could you say they're mentally ill? And I'm not questioning whether Kanye has serious issues. I'm really not. But then I started to think about the fact that what if someone was on Twitter saying something that was dangerous to my family or to the people I love? I'd be the first one calling up Elon Musk being like, get this person off of there, file a report. And so while it may seem like, yeah, Kanye is ranting and raving and who really cares? No one takes that seriously. People do take it seriously. There are synagogues that are getting a lot more threats and calls. And if you're not Jewish, you might think, well, it's not that big a deal. But if your dad's going to a synagogue every morning, I bet you do consider it a big deal. I bet you are worried about it. And that changed my perspective as well. And just the last thing I want to say, and we're not going to spend all day on this, but I didn't want to avoid it. As far as Kanye goes, I've said this before on the show, and I'm not trying to change history here, rewrite the past. I like a lot of Kanye's music. I was a fan of Kanye's for a very long time. I do find this whole downfall to be sad. Now, this is a man who needs help. It doesn't excuse one iota of the disgusting crap that he has been spewing. But people like Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, these are vultures and grifters. And they're clearly taking advantage of the fact that this man is fully out of his mind, that he doesn't have anyone who's in his circle right now who can help him. And they're just trying to make a buck off that. And so hopefully someone can intervene, can get him help, can talk some sense into him. I know that he had a lot of those people in his life at one point, and it's sad that I think he's probably, like a lot of people who struggle with mental health, he's probably distanced himself from a lot of those people. But I just wanted to add that in as well. I do find a lot of this to be a sad thing, a sad like spectacle to observe from the outside. Now, this is obviously all very serious stuff. I am in no way thinking that I've hit every point or I understand every side of it. I'm open to other sides when it comes to whether or not he should have been suspended. But here's what I want to say right now. If you are someone who thinks any part of his Alex Jones interview where he was had his face covered up and he was doing prop comedy and talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and all these other things and talking about how Hitler wasn't that bad, if you think any of those ideas are valid, that conversation is not going to happen on the air. I am not going to indulge that kind of ridiculousness, and there's no room for it. So if you want to talk about free speech, where we draw the line and have a conversation, you're more than welcome to call in. But we are going to be very, very careful about what we're saying here, because I think it matters. I do think it matters, and I think it's gone really far, and I understand why some people look at this and say, you got to get this guy off of there. This is too dangerous, and I understand why some people say, well, today you're saying this is dangerous, but what if tomorrow something unpopular happens and you decide that that's dangerous? I do see how it's nuanced. 844-500-4242. I hope I was able to express that in the way I wanted, and you're more than welcome to call in. Why do real estate owners voluntarily choose to auction their own homes, commercial property, and land? Well, the answer is simple: certainty. And there's not a lot of certainty out there right now. In a J.J. Manning real estate auction, the seller benefits from certainty of sale, certainty of no contingencies, certainty of a closing in 30 days, and certainty of competition fighting for your property. In a J.J. Manning auction, you are in the hands of a 46-year seasoned firm with over 16,000 auctions under their belt. The real estate market right now is scary. It's tricky. It's a lot of people are unsure of what's happening. And your property is their most important project. There's no distress. You set the terms. You sell contingency-free. And the buyer pays the commission. In an uncertain real estate market, choose certainty. Choose J.J. Manning. Remove the doubt. There's no need for it. From Needham to Nashua, Westford to Westwood, and Yarmouth to Merrimack, my listeners and Howie's have chosen certainty and sold with J.J. Manning. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Don't wait for prices to head even lower. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Again, it's from Needham to Nashua, Westford to Westwood, and Yarmouth to Merrimack. Grace and Howie listeners have chosen certainty, and sold with J.J. Manning. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is Friday, and boy, do we have plenty to discuss today. We are talking about Kanye West in this first hour. We're talking about free speech, and we're going to try to figure it out. This is not what we're going to talk about for the full show. We have a lot planned later, but we will have Ari Hoffman on in the next segment, and he's going to give us his take on this. And I'm going to wait to vote in the poll question until after I hear what he says. I want all my information. I want to be able to really soak all of this in and then make a decision. So maybe I'm cheating a little bit today, but that's all right. Let's go to Rick. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller. A couple things. Conway is clearly mentally ill, I think, and probably a manic. I have a mental health background for 40 years. More to the point on the free speech issue, Kanye's crossed the line because he's openly, essentially advocated for the support for a person who was violent. And this is becoming more common, and I think social media platforms have an obligation to monitor this kind of thing because it spreads very quickly. We have a lot of deranged individuals in our society.
Right.
But there's a flip side to the coin, too, and I'd like your comment on it, because this problem of censorship actually goes way back to the Supreme Court, not so much in violent speech, but in so-called nonviolent or pornographic speech, sexualized materials. And they punted on that, and pornography has exploded in our society. And so you have, on the one side, you have this pleasure-seeking, has nothing to do with politics, and on the other side, you have this violence-seeking that has perhaps a political end, but not through speech, but by advocating something way beyond speech. Neither one of those two extremes has anything to do with politics, and that was the whole point of the First Amendment and our social obligations, was to support political speech.
And Rick, hold on. I want to stop you there, because the first part of your call really makes me think that if we could just distinguish, and I know that it feels like something where you see it, you know what it is. I mean, Kanye West is praising Hitler. How much more information do you need that this is hateful rhetoric, that this is insanity? But I do think, for the sake of free speech going forward, you have to lay out exactly what it is. And I think Rick just did. He's supporting someone who is violent towards people. He's supporting Hitler. And I don't know if you write it up. I don't know if there's a better way to explain it. But I do think, so that people don't feel going forward that it's arbitrary and that it could be used against anyone who someone else disagrees with, it is important to kind of lay out the foundation of, this is wrong, we are suspending you, and here's why. And so that in the future, if someone else does this, it's not a question of, well, why was one person suspended and one person wasn't? And a lot of people bring up Louis Farrakhan and say, why is he still on Twitter? And I think that's a question Elon Musk is going to be asked. And I think he's got to figure that out. Really quickly here, we don't have a ton of time. Let's go to Dave really quick.
How you doing, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
That Keanu West, whatever his name is, he's just saying this stuff for attention. And he's getting the attention that he's looking for because everybody's talking about it, which is exactly the it's feeding his arrogance and his ego. And the more people talk about it, the more he likes it.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? Kanye West, and if you're not familiar with his work and stuff, he's got a fan base, a rabid fan base of people who are going to pay attention to every single thing he says. So while I agree with you that this could be just a ploy for attention, it doesn't change the fact that what he's saying is really disturbing, and that a lot of people feel there should be consequences for it, especially when you have people who will listen to what he says and run with it or act on it. We're going to talk to Ari Hoffman about all of this and what he makes of this situation. Thank you to all the callers who are on the line. We're probably not going to get to you in this hour, but we appreciate you calling in. So much more to get to today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
As I mentioned, I was being very cautious in this opening. It's a very, very serious subject when we're discussing anti-Semitism. And it's easy to say Kanye's crazy, which I don't deny the fact that he is, and don't give him any oxygen. But I think that we're seeing a real tricky situation when it comes to free speech, and we have to talk about it. We have to figure out what the rules are on social media, and Elon Musk is going to have to figure that out for himself. Joining me now, I cannot think of a better person to have on today when here I am kind of walking on eggshells, trying to not tick off anyone and not say anything that I regret. Ari Hoffman is one of the most thoughtful guests we ever have on the show, and he joins us now from the Post-Millennial. Ari, thanks so much for coming on.
Pleasure as always, Grace, but you don't have to walk on eggshells. We got free speech in this country. Say what you want.
I know. It's just, you know, Ari, you're absolutely right, but I'm also trying to make sure that I handle this in the right way, because I do think that there's this push to either say, listen, there's free speech, deal with it, or kick them off. And I do think it's a little more nuanced than that. Give us your initial reaction to all of this.
Absolutely. Well, there's a thing about there's free speech, and then there's, hey, I still want to have friends. Hey, I still want people to talk to me. And Kanye has managed to alienate everybody. When you've lost Kim Kardashian, but you managed to pick up Nick Fuentes, you know you've made some bad life decisions. That's just my perspective. So for me, the free speech guy in me is saying, I don't understand the ban, because if Elon Musk really wanted this to be free speech, he should have left him on the platform. He left Louis Farrakhan on the platform. I think the Ayatollah is still on the platform. He brought back some other people who say some pretty awful things about Jews. But on the flip side, I'm also the guy in my synagogue who's in charge of security. And since Kanye started going down this path, we've seen a spike in threats. And now we get threats all the time, but not at this level. There's been more and more of them. And a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is the people like the Black Hebrew Israelites, which is an anti-Semitic organization, the guys who say they're the real Jews, people in white supremacists, they grab onto whatever they want and say, oh, see, Kanye West agrees with me. I feel a little bit more validated. Now, mind you, we have that insanity in politics, too. Bernie Sanders is not responsible for the guy who went and shot up a congressional softball game. But at the same time, the person was able to say, see, I am justified because I am doing this to kill Republicans because they're going to take away my health care. And it is a discussion with regards to free speech is where do you draw the line? Twitter is a private company. It can do whatever it wants. It doesn't have to be a free speech platform. We want it to be a free speech platform because we see how much they were censoring conservatives before Elon Musk bought it. But Elon Musk is walking a very, very, very tight rope right now, especially when you have the EU considering banning the thing for whatever reason. You have the Biden administration breathing down his neck. And when the guy is openly spouting this garbage, you should really be saying, okay, well, if you're going to say this goes too far, then what about the Ayatollah? What about Louis Farrakhan? What about those guys? And now you're on a slippery slope.
Yeah, and I also, you know, I saw, and I can't give credit because I don't remember who was tweeting this, but someone said that, you know, it's been pretty well documented. Elon Musk and Kanye are friends. They respect each other a lot. I don't know how much things have changed since Kanye has been going down this path. But a lot of people were pointing out that this could have been an act of compassion by Elon Musk, seeing how unhinged Kanye is. And then I think you work in another element of this conversation of if someone is mentally unwell, you know, what's the responsibility of a platform to kind of intervene? And obviously then you have the whole discussion of, well, today it's Kanye, but what if in a few months they're deciding that someone who's conservative is unwell? And I'm not trying to draw parallels between anything Kanye is saying and conservatives, but I'm just saying that it's, again, I hate to use the slippery slope thing, but you have to be very specific and you have to have, I think, a language down where people understand what the rules are so that going forward, it doesn't become this line that can move anywhere you want it to go. Does that make sense, Ari?
100%. I think you're exactly right, Grace. The problem with old Twitter was you get censored for what? There was, you violate our terms and conditions. Well, your terms and conditions don't say anything about what I posted. I mean, one that cracked me up, one that got pulled of mine, was there was a Zoom meeting of Joe Biden and the other leaders of the world. This got yanked from Facebook and Twitter, and it's a Zoom meeting, and Joe Biden's wearing a mask. It was just a screenshot from that. But they said you violate our terms and conditions for fake news. I'm like, it actually happened, but they pulled it down. It was completely arbitrary based on what they wanted up and what they want down. You also make a great point with, was this an act of compassion on Elon Musk? Think about it this way. Nobody's in need of a conservatorship more than Britney Spears, than perhaps Kanye West. I mean, really, you have Britney Spears in this thing and Kanye West is losing his mind. He's got kids out there. And the last time he made a comment about his kids and where they went to school, his supporters were showing up at the school. They had to put the place on lockdown. I mean, he's got people that hang on his every word, and his kids are going to have to deal with the ramifications of what he says. That's a very, very scary thing that he's riling all these people up. And it may have been an act of compassion on Elon Musk's part to go, this guy's having a mental breakdown. What we saw on Alex Jones' show is a televised mental institution. Why are we giving it oxygen? Why are we giving it air? This guy needs actual help. And instead, we're all getting clicks off it.
Yeah, I think that is such a really important point to make. And when you see mental health, and then we have other situations, Ari, where people are on Instagram or on social media and they're clearly unwell. And then something occurs later and we all say, well, why didn't anyone step in? Lord knows there's enough people monitoring this stuff. Why didn't anyone say anything? And like you just mentioned, this is a case where this guy is one of the most popular, influential people in the world. And we're all just watching it. And there's something really sad about that. And it doesn't excuse anything that he is saying at all. But I do think that there's something sad about how there's these vultures now who are kind of egging him on and kind of loving the fact that he's bringing them all of this attention.
Right. Think about it this way for a second. In some states, Kanye has now violated red flag laws, and Kanye has discussed the guns he's owned before. So how many times have we seen a shooting or something where we said, you wanted these red flag laws, they're in place, you have a clear example of it. Kanye is a prime candidate for that. I don't hear anybody talking about that at all. We're talking about mental health, and it's a very, very serious thing. And people like Nick Fuentes, who are using Kanye to elevate their own status, I'm sure half the country had no idea who that little troll was. But now they do, because he grabbed onto Kanye and he held on tight. I mean, even Milo Yiannopoulos is like, nope, I'm out. What does it take for Milo Yiannopoulos to say, I'm not doing this anymore? Yeah. So you really have to look at this and go, he is being used by these people who say, oh, I can get some mileage out of this guy. He's not doing anybody any favors. He's not doing himself any favors. And people like Nick Fuentes who are using him, how come more people aren't calling that out?
Yeah, and you know what else I want to point out is that sometimes when I talk about this, and you know, you do walk a fine line of saying, okay, we're going to talk about it, but we don't want to add oxygen to. And my kind of line that I drew today was, we're not going to play any of the sound from Alex Jones, because I really do not want to indulge any of this, because I find it so disgusting. But I want to talk about what we're dealing with here. And I think that this is a problem we see a lot, where people think, well, only crazy people feel this way, or only, you know, Nick Fuentes, and he has such a small base of people that follow him. But if you go online, Ari, and you can speak to this, but if you go online, we saw a situation like this, and this is a little bit niche, and a lot of my listeners might not know about this, but there was a Real Housewife of New York, and she was a Zionist. She was very pro-Israel, and she received so much hate from people online, and there was a few other things in filming, that she actually left the show. And so I think that this kind of anti-Semitism, while now people are focusing on it because of Kanye, this actually is very prevalent. And I don't think it's enough just to say Kanye West is bad. I think another part of it is that we need to educate people. And I've reached out to you before for help on this, but I think that's kind of a missing component, is there is a way to take this really bad situation and say, this is why Holocaust education is so important. This is why people need to keep learning about history, because you don't want to see these kind of stereotypes and this kind of anti-Semitism become so prevalent again.
Absolutely. I mean, let's take it from a different perspective for a second here, Grace. You're a female talk radio host. I'm sure you get a ton of hate online, and I'm sure you get a ton of hate because you're a female talk radio host. And I'm sure most people don't even pay attention to it. Most people ignore it. I'm sure it rolls right off your shoulders, but you still see it all the time. And people don't realize the kind of stuff you probably have to put up with that. With me being a Jewish conservative talk radio host, I get this kind of hate all the time. I've had death threats. I've had the FBI show up at my house before. I've had to talk to the Seattle police on a regular number of occasions because of the amount of anti-Semitism I get. And so many people are just ignorant. I used to do a lot of volunteering in Seattle public schools. And one of the things I used to do was I would walk in there with a baseball hat on so they didn't see my yarmulke on my head. And I would say, let's do a little thing called draw a Jew. Right? Just draw a Jew. Now you can imagine how this went down. One kid literally drew a thing that looked like it was right out of the movie Gremlins. right? Because that's something that's so ingrained in some parts of our society. They really believe this stuff. And even out here in Seattle, Washington, some people have never even seen a Jew before. They have no idea what that means. They don't know. They just know there's this group called the Jews. They don't know anything about it. There is so much ignorance in our society. You are 100% correct that this is an opportunity to educate about the Holocaust, to educate about how Kanye is wrong, to educate what Jews deal with on a regular basis, to educate of why you can't just walk into a synagogue the way you walk into some churches, why you're likely to find a former member of the Israeli Defense Forces standing at the door, no matter what synagogue you go to across the country, no matter what denomination you go into, because we have to deal with this stuff on a regular basis.
Ari Hoffman from the Post-Millennial, before we let you go, I have one more question, and I know you've covered this in this interview, but I want to give you another opportunity. If you were sitting down with Elon Musk today and he said, listen, Ari, we're dealing with this, what do you think is the best direction for us to go in? What kind of advice would you give him?
I would say, look, you have to have a clear standard, whatever that standard is. And you have to say, this is our line. And if you cross this line, this is why you're getting suspended. But it has to be clear as day. There can't be any ambiguity. And it can't seem spontaneous or random, because that's when you give ammo to the trolls or your critics to say, well, you're not following your own thing. It has to be, we follow it, and this is exactly what it is. It has to be black and white.
Yeah, and there's one standard, and we're a private company, and if you do not follow this standard, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be kicked off. You're going to be suspended. I think that's a really, really good point, Ari, and you've changed my perspective on this a lot. I hope people enjoy this interview. I can't see why they wouldn't have. Ari, please tell people where they can listen to you, where they can find you, where they can read all of your wonderful work.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Grace. As always, you can find me over at The Hot Father on Twitter. You can find my writings at The Post Millennial. You can download my podcast at KVI.com or whatever your preferred podcast platform is.
Excellent. Thank you so much to Ari. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? It's also a wonderful place to be in the winter, in the fall and in the winter. I got married on Cape Cod in the fall, and it was gorgeous. It was a day like today, nice and sunny and crisp. And if you're thinking to yourself, okay, Grace, that all sounds good. I want to check out Cape Cod in the winter, but where do I go? Lucky for you, I have the perfect place. And some of my coworkers, including Jared, have stayed there. Jared will not stop singing the praises of the Nauset Beach Inn because he loved it so much. So book your Nauset Beach Inn getaway today. They have special winter rates. That would be through March 31st. They start at $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. There are so many great things about Nauset Beach. And including the fact that the Nauset Beach Inn is beautiful. It's the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. They've got amazing, clean, gorgeous rooms, two queen beds, spacious. They're pet friendly too, which is a huge bonus for all the pet parents out there. And it's a lovely place to be. And Cape Cod off season is so underrated. You get into restaurants, you actually can make a reservation. You go shopping in town. You can enjoy all of the wonderfulness of Cape Cod without the crowds, without the heat. It's really, really perfect. And especially right before Christmas, you get a little bit of that holiday cheer, that holiday spirit. You're really going to love it. So enjoy special winter rates through March 31st, starting at just $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. Reservations fill up quickly, so book early at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. We will take your calls after the break. We're going to do the poll question. It's 844-500-4242. Call in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Another part of this conversation is when people say, well, he just wants attention, you're adding oxygen to it. There's plenty of people who are talking about this who are fueling the conspiracy theories and the crap that Kanye West is saying. So if we can come on here and have an actual informed conversation about why he's wrong and what should happen because of it, I think that that's helpful. Stay on the lines if you want to talk. We're going to go right to the calls here. But first, Kanye has a lot to do with today's poll question, which is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. That's jjmanning.com. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should Kanye West have been banned off Twitter? Yes or no?
You know, I've had a real change of heart on this. This morning I was no. This morning I was free speech has got to reign supreme. If you're going to do this, then what's next? But after talking to Ari, after really having conversations with so many people today, all of my coworkers, we've talked about it, been chatting everyone's ear off, talked to the mail-order manager, I'm going to say yes. And the reason why I think yes is because I think Elon Musk can do this and can set a new standard and actually write this out, explain to people what the standard is, and then have people either abide by it or get suspended. I think there's a way to handle this kind of hateful rhetoric and not have the line be confusing for people. So if Elon were to do what Ari was just talking about, which is setting a standard and being very clear on it and not making it something that's arbitrary, then yeah, I think the best thing is to suspend Kanye West, because all of the things that he has been saying, I don't think they have any place on the platform.
Yep. 51% say yes, 49% say no. It's been back and forth all morning.
Wow, very close. Okay, let's go to Brad. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brad.
Hi, Grace. I want to wish you and your listeners a Merry Christmas.
You as well, sir.
And I appreciate your last caller. Howie's got Officer Mark. You can have Deputy Brad.
okay, free speech, I like that.
Free speech has been defined. It's very clear. We either have it or we don't. If we leave it up to one individual to define it, we're going to be in trouble. Kanye West clearly is a moron and has his own issues. And those that believe in what he says fit in the same category. But free speech is either free or it isn't. And it's already been defined. If I don't say something that leads you to believe you're in imminent danger, then what I say should be okay.
Yeah, but Brad, what do you say to the argument that Ari was making, which I think is valid, that what Kanye West is saying, and you said, oh, he's a moron and the people who follow him are morons, but there's a lot of morons out there who follow exactly what he says, and then they actually do act on this. And whether or not that means they physically act on it, they're calling these synagogues and they're threatening people. And it's very real, I think, for the Jewish community. So on that front, how do you respond to that?
And I agree, and I sympathize with, again, the morons that do that to the synagogue. But look at our political atmosphere right now. We've got an administration, unfortunately, that hasn't supported the Jewish community for over 2 years, to include Israel. They have not supported them at all. We had vice presidents calling for violence in the street during Black Lives Matter. Should she have been censored and taken off all social platforms?
Well, this is my point, which is I understand where Brad is coming from. Where do you draw the line? You know, why is it going to apply to some people and not to others? But I think that if you look at the line and you say, this is the line, these are the situations, this is the time where we're going to do it. And some people might be listening and going, oh, come on, Grace, there's no way to even do that. But I think you got to try. I do. I think when you have a billionaire who is so influential and so powerful and is having these mental breakdowns and he's got throngs of followers who hang on his every word and actually act upon the things that he's saying, I don't blame Elon Musk or anyone at Twitter for saying, we got to get this under control. And I don't really believe that there's no way to do that. I don't think you can just let things run rampant. And maybe now I sound like a hypocrite for all the times I said free speech. But I'm telling you right now that if I were Jewish and I had a family member who goes to a synagogue every day, I know for a fact that I would be saying, get this guy off of there. Enough. This is ridiculous in 2022. This kind of stuff is dangerous. I know I would be saying that. And so I have to speak out in that sense, because it's very real to people who are dealing with this every single day and facing it. You might think, oh, it's Kanye. He's got a bunch of idiot followers. Who really cares? Nobody's listening to him. But you'd feel very differently if you were seeing the graffiti on your kid's school, or if you were seeing these phone calls come into your synagogue. You'd feel very differently about it, I think. 844-500-4242. We are going to move on. We're going to talk about some other things, but I appreciate everyone calling in and giving your thoughtful opinions, and I really appreciate Ari Hoffman for weighing in as well. When we come back, we're going to lighten it up a little bit and cover some other news, including Hunter Biden. Don't go anywhere. A lot more on this Friday show. It's the Grace Curley Show.